Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. If you will take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16 with me. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to begin reading there in verse 13 in just a moment. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13. It is so good to see everyone here this morning. God has blessed us to be able to come together to worship Him and to honor Him. And what a wonderful blessing that is. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We do have guests in the audience. We're glad that you're here. And we hope that you'll come back whenever you get the opportunity to do so. Thank you so much for being here. We want you to know that you encourage us. It's just a wonderful blessing for us just to be together. I think I've said that enough this morning, right? We are blessed people. I hope we understand that. I hope we don't ever take that for granted. We are truly blessed people. Last week I was with the Anderson congregation. And that was a wonderful opportunity to be together with those brethren. And I want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity to do that. You know, that is something that I think is very important for local churches to do for their local evangelists, is to allow them to hold gospel meetings. And that's for two reasons. Number one, it's because of something that we read similar in 1 Thessalonians. And here's what I mean by that. In 1 Thessalonians 1, the church in Thessalonica was growing, and as it was growing, people were going to other places, maybe to their homeland, they were traveling, and they were reporting about the work that was being done in Thessalonica. But when I can go to gospel meetings, I can tell people about you and about the church that's here. And what that does for us is that allows people to, number one, pray for the work here. But number two, if they're ever traveling or if they ever move closer to the work here, they will remember that we are here. And they may say, hey, let's go visit that group. And so over time, you may have some people that come as a result of that. And so that's important. But number two, it also allows men the opportunity to speak in my absence. Men from this congregation. I heard Darren did a wonderful job last week. And we need to offer men the opportunity to do these things. And there's a very important reason for that. If I'm the only one preaching and teaching Bible class, then we have a problem at Hilton Drive. And so we need to allow people the opportunity to do these things. Why? Because in the New Testament, we're going to talk about this tonight when we talk about the church at Antioch, but in the New Testament, churches had multiple men who could do this work. And I'm so thankful for Darren speaking in my absence. I'm so thankful for the time and effort he put into that. And I know that you are as well. And I've heard so many people say so many good things about what he had to say last week. And I'm so thankful for that. And so that's very important. And I'm so glad that that opportunity was able to come to me and was able to come to Darren as well. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Let's go ahead and get into our Bibles. Look with me in Matthew 16 in verse 13. Matthew 16 in verse 13. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He was asking His disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." You know, I realize that it has been a few months since I have preach a church sign lesson to you. And I know I don't want to deprive you anymore. In fact, I think I just need to come up with a series entitled Church Signs. I think that would probably be the best thing to do. And maybe preach this in gospel meetings, because there are so many interesting signs that we run into every day. But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen signs like these? Boy, I really hope that begins to work. Signs like these. These are signs that Mallory and I, when we would go from community to community, maybe for gospel meetings or maybe because we were looking for a house, we would go and we would see signs that look just like these. Signs that say, attend the church of your choice. You see this when you go into city limits, when you cross the county line, and you see all of these churches that have paid to advertise on signs just like this. Have you ever noticed signs like these? Perhaps these signs were not at the county line or whenever you drove into the city limits, but they were being advertised as you drove by it on the highway. I've seen churches that they'll put this phrase on their signs, attend the church of your choice. You know, one of the things that is obvious in our world today is that there are a lot of different kinds of churches out there. There are a lot of different kinds of churches in our country, in the world, in the state of Alabama. There are a lot of different countries in our community. And there are several different options for people who want to attend a church. And many of these churches will have advertisements like these. They say, attend the church of your choice. And these advertisements are often meant to send a very specific message. And that message is pretty clear. You go and you pick the church that best suits you. You go and you pick the church that you are looking for, what you want, what makes you feel spiritual, something that is a good fit for you, where you will feel accepted. And the list goes on and on. And so that begs the question this morning, does it really matter which church I belong to? Isn't that a relevant question today? Isn't that a current issue? You know, this has really been a current issue for as long as I have been alive. It goes back beyond my lifetime as well. I know that. These issues just never seem to go away. In fact, sometimes they just grow wings and get bigger and bigger. But have you ever had someone say to you that it doesn't really matter what church you belong to? You do what you feel is right. I'll do what I feel is right. You go to the place that is best for you and your family, and I'll go to the place that is best for me and my family. And what we'll do is one day when we all get to heaven, then we'll worship together. We'll see one another in heaven. Let's not get caught up in the details. You pick the church that is best for you, and I'll pick the church that is best for me. It's as if, for some people, the only requirement in order to get to heaven is that you must die. And that's all there is to it. By the way, we call that universalism, the idea that all you have to do is die and you'll go to heaven. And there are a lot of people today, even in this community, even in Florence, who are searching for real faith. They are searching for truth. They are searching for what is right, and they are searching for a church that does things that are right. And I know that sometimes we invite people a lot, and sometimes we get turned down or rejected for a Bible study or something like that. And sometimes we can begin to become a little jaded because people aren't as receptive as we would like them to be. And I think this is one of the reasons why sometimes people are not as receptive as we would like them to be. It's because people have become a little skeptical because there are so many different churches out there that teach so many different things. They are having a really hard time in their search because they do not know why there are so many churches who teach so many different things, and they don't know which one to choose. And that has caused a lot of religious confusion in our culture. And so, how in the world are people supposed to choose a church since there is so much confusion out there? And by the way, I find myself constantly running into Christians who do not know the answer to this. They do not know how to address these questions today. And so the question is does it really matter which church that I belong to? Is it really that big of a deal? Is it really that important? Can I pick just any church? Can I pick the church that makes me feel really good, where I am accepted right where I am in life, where I don't have to make any changes in my life?
About the church that my kids like, the church that makes them feel accepted. Can I pick that church? Does it really matter? I mean, aren't we all just going for the same goals? Does it really matter which church I belong to? Well, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I want us to understand that yes, it matters. Because we must choose the church that pleases God. I want us to understand before we go any further this morning that God must be the center of our life. He must take first priority. And therefore, in everything that we do, including in the decision of what church we belong to, we must seek Him. I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to get them out this morning. We're going to look at a lot of important verses. But turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I want you to look with me in verse 9. Colossians 1, look with me in verse 9. I want you to read this for yourself. I want you to see it for yourself. Let's look at our Bibles together, and let's read from Colossians 1, verse 9. Notice what it says. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Notice this, to please Him in all respects. Notice what Paul says there. He says, it is our job as the people of God to please God in all respects. That is our work. That every good work that we do must be done to please Him. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, Paul said, finally then, brethren, we exhort you, and we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk, and notice this, and please God. That was their goal. It was to please God. And that's what Paul is writing to them about. He's telling them, this is how you can please God. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer makes that famous statement, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen, as God's people, as people who want to go to heaven, it is our goal, it should be everyone's goal, to want to please God. And that should be our first priority in life. Every decision that we make must be made with that idea in mind. We should want to please God. And so, does it really matter which church I belong to? Well, yes, it matters, because I want to please God. But what we need to understand is that since we answer that question with a yes, that does not mean that we think that we are better than other people. I want to stress this morning, because I think this is extremely important when it comes to going out and converting our friends who are not Christians. We are not sitting here anytime saying or even thinking that we are better than other people. And this is why. In 1 Corinthians 5, you will read of a horrible or a tragic or a putrid situation in the church in Corinth. There was a man who was having an affair with his stepmother. You can't get more wicked than that, as we define wickedness. Now, God defines all wickedness as the same. But if we define wicked, we could not imagine having that situation occur in the Helton Drive congregation, could we? We just couldn't imagine that. And they were tolerating this guy. They were accepting this guy. And they weren't just anybody. They weren't letting it happen. They weren't saying anything about it. It was absolutely horrible. And Paul writes to rebuke them for that. That demonstrates a very important point. It demonstrates that sometimes there are going to be people who are members of any local body who will sin and who will live a hypocritical life, and we are no different. In Romans 3 and verse 23, Paul says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let me ask you, have you ever had somebody say, you know, I won't ever go to that church over there because that church is just filled with a bunch of hypocrites? We've all heard people say that before. And when we have brethren that are being hypocritical in their lives, that does not help us at all. It does not help the cause of Christ at all. But we do need to recognize that no one is exempt from Satan's temptation. Not you, not me, nobody. When you were baptized, you did not get a spandex uniform and a cape with a big S on it that stood for super Christian. You are not some spiritual superhero. And sometimes there will be some Christians who mess up. There will be some Christians who mess up big time. Sometimes people are going to play the hypocrite. So we're not saying that we are any better than other people, because like all people, the devil is still working on us, and he's working on us big time. And sometimes I really think that the devil is working harder on us because we are Christians and because we do want to do what is right and we do want to serve God. And so we're not saying that we're better than anybody else. But also, we need to understand that since we say yes, that it does matter which church I belong to, that we are not necessarily claiming to be smarter than other people. I want you to take your Bibles and turn them over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This has to be one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, and I think you're going to see why in just a moment. Look at Ephesians 3 and look at verse 3. Paul says this. He says that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Paul says, when you read, you can understand. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? That means that the Bible is not hard to figure out. It is not something that we just can't understand. When you read it, you can understand it. In other words, it's not rocket science. It's not medical science. It's not chemistry or biology or geology or anything like that. And here's what that means. It means that the Bible was written for everybody. And everybody can read it and understand it. And we can all know how to please God in our lives. And so nobody is necessarily more intelligent than anybody else. Look, the Bible was written for the really smart people to understand. And the Bible was written for the common people, people like me, to understand. We can understand it when we read it. And so there's no one here thinking or saying that we are smarter or more intelligent than somebody else. But also, since we answer yes, that it does matter which church I belong to, that does not necessarily mean that we are starting a better church that is doing better things in a better way to grow. Now, here's what I mean by that. Some people have started churches because they think that other churches are just not doing things in the right way. And so rather than change the practice that's not working or to work to influence people in it, what they'll do is they'll take their ball and go into another backyard and set up their own playhouse, their own treehouse, or whatever you want to say about that. And what they'll do is they'll go start a congregation that they feel is doing something better, in a better way. They want to feel good. They want to feel more spiritual. They want everything the church does to be about the experience of the member. And by the way, I am so concerned that sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes we are more concerned about the experience of the member than we are about pleasing God. Here's the problem with that. That makes it all about me. I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to read verse 3 and verse 4 with me. 2 Timothy 4, read verse 3 and verse 4 with me. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, for the time will come, 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Some people, Paul says, want to have their ears tickled. Now, we don't talk like that today, do we? We don't use that kind of illustration. What that basically says is that some people want to hear what they want to hear. hear. They want to hear something that's pleasing. They want to hear something that's easy to hear. Something that will always leave them with the right feeling about who they are and what they're doing. In other words, they want to always hear a positive message, and they want to be told how good they are and how they're always doing everything right. And so they don't need to change. They don't need to grow. They don't need to repent. They don't need to do anything. It's all about what makes me feel good. It's all about what makes me happy. Look, ladies and gentlemen, we need to say something about that. Because Jesus came to this earth on a mission. In Luke 19 and verse 10, in regards to Zacchaeus, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And that message, or that mission rather, to seek and save the lost, is why Jesus came to this earth. And He preached on a regular basis the most unpopular message that anybody has ever preached. You know what it is that He preached? It started back in Matthew 4. He preached, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Do you know what that word repent means? Do you know what the word repent implies? You know, by the way, we need to understand that words mean something in the Scriptures. And that words have a meaning. And we don't need to water down their meaning. And the word repent is another word that has been watered down in our society and in the religious world today. It has been completely watered down and taken away from its original meaning. Do you understand what the word repent implies? It implies that if I have to repent, that means I have been wrong in my life. Perish the thought. It means that there is something about my life that I need to change. Yet today, if you tell someone they need to repent, if you tell someone they need to change, you know what happens? People begin to attack the messenger because they don't like the message. They did it in Jesus' day, and they do it in our day. And so please understand that we want people to hear the gospel. We want people to hear the truth. And so when we answer this question, please understand, the issue is not whether or not I feel like I'm better than you, because I don't feel that way. The issue is not whether or not I think that I'm smarter than you, because I'm not. And the issue is not whether I think I'm doing something better at Elton Drive than somebody else is, so that we can please more people and so that they can grow. That's not the real issue at all. The real issue is this. It's whether or not I belong to a church that pleases God. And yes, that matters. Number two, it also matters because we must choose the church that belongs to Jesus. And if you don't get anything else that I say this morning, please understand this. And that is this. The church, or Jesus has a church. Jesus has a church. Go back to Matthew 16 and look at verse 18. Peter had just made that great confession of faith that Jesus is the Son of God. And others were saying that Jesus was just a prophet, like Jeremiah or Elijah or somebody like that. And Peter made that great confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And notice what Jesus says in verse 18. He says, "I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Don't miss that. Jesus says, "I will build my church." Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And notice what it says there in verse 21. In verse 21. Actually, back in verse 20, the Bible says, "Which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, dominion and power, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He, God, put all things in subjection under His, Christ's feet, and gave Christ as head over all things to the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of Him, who fills all in all. So don't miss that. The church is Jesus' body. Jesus has a church. The church is Jesus' body. Now go over to Ephesians 4 and look at verse 4. Notice what it says. The first four words here, they're very important to our understanding. Jesus has a church. The church is His body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body. Don't miss that. Again, words mean something. How many churches are there in the New Testament? There is one church. How many is one? We all understand that one means one. We understand that. Listen to me. We are talking about the same church that Isaiah and Daniel and Joel all prophesied about. And all these prophets foretold of Jesus' church hundreds of years before He ever came to this earth. So does it really matter which church we belong to? Absolutely it does. It matters because Jesus gave His life for His church. Look over at Ephesians 5, if your Bible's already in Ephesians, and look at verse 23 with me. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Paul is comparing the church to the relationship of the husband and wife. And that's really the real point of Ephesians 5. You know, we come here a lot to talk about the marriage relationship, and rightfully so. But the real point of Ephesians 5 is not to really talk about the marriage relationship as much as it is to compare the church and Jesus' relationship to it with the marriage relationship. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being, notice this, the Savior of the body. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, notice this, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Jesus loved His church, and He died for His church, He suffered for His church, He cared for His church. And so does it really matter which church I belong to? Well, Jesus cared about His church so much that He died for it. Yes, it matters what church I belong to. And if Jesus has His church, shouldn't I want to belong to the church that belongs to Jesus? Doesn't that make sense? In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said that the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I don't know about you, but I want to belong to that church. That is a church, ladies and gentlemen, that will always stand no matter what. Satan will never overpower this church. Now, Satan may try to get some of our members occasionally. He might try to come and take this person away and get this person to sin and get this person to go off and do this thing. But at the end of the day, Satan will not overpower Jesus' church. Here's what we need to remember. There are a lot of people out there who know very little or maybe nothing at all about the Church of Christ. They think that we are just one of thousands of denominations that are out there. In fact, I think it's sad that there are a lot of Christians, especially young Christians growing up, who begin to think that we are just another one of those denominations out there. Listen, we are not a denomination. We are a church or a group of people who are of Christ. And so when we say that we are a church of Christ, we are simply saying that Christ is the head of our church. Somebody once came in here and said, Church of Christ. He says, that denomination is really interesting. He goes, where is your headquarters? And my answer to that question was really simple. Our headquarters are in heaven. And he said, oh, and he thought I was being arrogant. And I said, no, look at Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. What does the Bible say about where Jesus is? He is in heaven. And what does headquarters literally mean? It means where the head is quartered. Well, where is our head quartered? Jesus is our head. He is quartered in heaven at the right hand of God. He has all control of all things. All authority has been given to Him. And so we have a headquarters, but it's not on earth. Jesus is our head. We have no human hierarchy, no clergy, no creeds. We are not a denomination. Nothing will ever overpower Jesus' church. On the day of Pentecost in 33 AD, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand something, that there were absolutely no denominations. There was just one true church, Jesus' church. And 2,000 years later, there is still only one true church, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. And even though the world has created thousands of different religions and different denominations that claim to follow Jesus, the only church that will always stand is the one that truly belongs to Him. Now, don't you want to be a part of that church? That's what sets us apart. We are that church. We are a part of that church. Listen to me. It matters which church I belong to. Finally, I want us to understand that matters because we must choose the church that teaches and practices the truth. That's the main issue. The main issue is that this is a battle between truth and error. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I really hope that this lesson this morning gives you something to go out and talk to your friends about who are not members of the Lord's body. They may think they're following Jesus, but they're not. And you know them. You know who they are better than I do. You know who they are. And I hope that we are equipped to talk about this. But in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God." Notice this, the pillar and support of the truth. The local church, Paul says, is the pillar and support of the truth. Everything that we do can be summed up into this one category. We must stand for the truth. And notice that Paul told Timothy it is the truth, not just a truth. That means that there is only one truth. There is only one objective truth. That means that the Bible doesn't mean different things for different people. I had one guy tell me one time that finally we're just doing things over here this way, which is completely different from y'all, but we're just going to heaven the same way. He says, "We're going down I-24 and you're going down I-65. And I thought, well, that doesn't make a lick of sense. Because if you keep going north on I-65, if you keep going west on I-24, you're not going to end up in the same place." Yeah, that's what people think sometimes. That's what they say. Look, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I've used this illustration before, but I want you to see what the Bible says here. John chapter 1, and look at verse 17 with me. Notice what it said here. "For the law was given through Moses," and notice this, "grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." And so truth and grace, they were realized through Jesus. Now turn to John 8 and look at verse 32. John chapter 8, look at verse 32. Jesus says this. He says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, there you go. Grace and truth are realized through Jesus, and you can know the truth. It's not some big secret that's just for those people who preach. It's not some big secret who are for those who are part of some religious hierarchy. It's something that you can know. You can know the truth. Look at John 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus says to Thomas and the rest of the disciples there, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so, truth was realized through Jesus. We can know the truth. Jesus is the truth. Look at John 17. Look at John 17 and notice what it says. Verse 17. "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." So truth was realized through Jesus. We can know the truth. Jesus is the truth. God's Word is the truth. Go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look at verse 16 with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." There it is. There's all these passages about truth, and all I have to do is believe, right? No. Look at the rest of the context. Look at verse 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But notice this, verse 21. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Jesus' truth was realized through Jesus. You and I can know the truth. Jesus is the truth. God's Word is the truth. And here it says in John 3 and verse 21, we can practice the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that truth matters. We can know the truth, we can believe the truth, we can practice the truth. And so the battle that we face every day as we're out there talking to our friends about the gospel of Jesus Christ is a battle between what is right and what is wrong, between truth and error. And we need to understand something about that. A lot of times we look at people who are engaged in error and we think, well, we've got all these things in common with them. A lot of the time, and most of the time, we are miles apart when it comes to truth and error. And we need to understand that. And what we need to do is we need to try to bring to teach the truth, to bring them back to this light. So let me ask you this. Does it matter if we go to a church that denies that the Bible is inspired by God? In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. But if you go to a church that says, you know, Mark 16 is not inspired by God, that's a vision of me. Or what if we go to a church that says, you know, those things that the apostles wrote, I don't believe those things. Unless it's written in red, I don't believe that. Those things are not inspired. Well, yeah, it matters. Because God would never want us to belong to a church that advocates that parts of the Bible are not inspired. Because then some man can make the Bible say whatever he wants it to say. Does it matter if we go to a church that denies what is necessary for salvation? That one must be baptized to be saved. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Mark 16 and verse 16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Does it matter if we go to a place that says, look, you don't have to do that? You know, or someone that changes the meaning of that term, because after all, words mean something. And so baptism means immersion. I mean, that's just what it means. And so somebody says, well, I realize that that's what it means for you and for the Greeks and for everybody else. But the reality is for me, it means something different than that. Is it really okay to belong to a church that teaches something different than what the Bible teaches on salvation? What about the idea of remaining faithful until death? Revelation 2 and verse 10 tells us to be faithful unto death. What if we go to a church and we belong to a church that decides that it's like the Calvinist doctrine of once saved, always saved. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation, so you can do just whatever you want to do. Does it matter if you belong to a church like that? Let me add this one more. Does it matter if you belong to a church that does things that are unauthorized in their work? Things that God has not given us authority for. Does it matter if you belong to that church? Well, yes, it does. Why? Because this is an issue of truth versus error. And let me just add this in conclusion. Everybody in the religious world truly believes that matters. Now you may think, why would you say that? They're telling you to attend the church of your choice. They're telling you that it doesn't matter. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody believes that. You may be here this morning, you may get mad at me because I told you that there's only one true church and that we must belong to that one true church. And you may sit here and say, well, you can't say that. What are you saying about all these other churches and the church that I go to? What you've just proven is that I am exactly right, is that it matters to you because you got mad at me for teaching this. Just think about that for a moment. You have just proven that it does matter to you. Everybody, every preacher, every teacher, every elder, every deacon, every pastor, every member truly believes it matters where you go to church. It is a self-defeating argument. The reality is yes, we agree with them in all practicality that it does matter. But the clear issue is an issue of truth versus error. And I don't know about you, but I want to please God. And I want to belong to Jesus' church. Don't you? Don't you want to belong to the church that's always going to stand and the devil cannot overpower? Don't you want to be a part of that church? I feel like I'm a part of that church. And I hope that you're a part of that church. If you're here this morning, you've never become a part of that church, the first thing you have to do is you have to have a relationship with Jesus. And to have that relationship with Jesus, the Bible does say in Mark 16:16, he who has believed and has been baptized will be saved. In Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then those who were baptized that day in Acts 2, they were added to the Lord's church. That was just a part of being saved. They were added to the saved. They were added to the body. So if we can help you do that this morning, we want to help you do that. You may be here and you're part of the Lord's church, but you're like one of those people who have something hidden in your life. There's something that stands between you and the Lord. Look, we'll pray with you and for you that God will forgive you, and we know that He will, because He said that He would. If we can help you in any way, let's come to the front and we stand as we stand.